Hello, hello! This is Fernando Fiore, El Presidente, and you are listening to the Mouths of the South podcast on DirtySouthTucker.com. Yole!
This is the Mouths of the South podcast. Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast.
And Alexi Lalas joins us right now,
bringing you the best coverage of Atlanta United FC. Paul Tenorio joining us now. Kristen Hennage on the Mouths of the South podcast.
The president of Atlanta United FC, Darren Eels.
Happy to have Doug Robertson on the Mouths of the South podcast, AJC writer for Atlanta United. The biggest names and exclusive interviews on the Mouths of the South podcast.
He'll do it again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Let's go. Sam Franco, everybody.
Yay.
What is up, Atlanta? The Mouths of the South podcast coming at you live from Fordow Irish Pub in Buckhead.
Gentlemen,
I'm joined by Sam and Josh. What's up, guys?
Sam on his first beer, acting a fool already.
Apparently.
What you got here, man?
We're live.
It's going to be a good night.
We'll do it live.
Get Miggy with it is what we're doing right here. And let's just drive. Let's just go ahead and get right into it because they've come out with the lineup. We've seen what Tata Martino is going to tout out against Toronto FC, at least to start the game.
Yes.
And Sam, you're not very happy.
Well, here's the thing. Kenwyn Jones looked very good at times when he came on in the last game. He won every aerial ball that he contested for. And obviously the game changed when Almiron, for Atlanta United, the game changed when Almiron came on. But when Kenwyn came on, the way that the attack was playing off of each other looked really good. And there was that one play where Kenwyn got the pass. And, I mean, that's the thing. The attack looked better. And maybe there's one of two things that I think could happen here. Either Tata Martino just isn't going to ever start Kenwyn Jones and he's only going to be a guy that comes off the bench. Or Tata thinks that Kenwyn is much better coming on later in a game and maybe seeing if you can weather the storm as well.
Maybe, I mean, it could just be that he isn't fit enough.
That's true.
It could be just something simple as that. If you're late to the party, the starting 11 for Atlanta United against Toronto FC up in Toronto tonight at 7:30 is out. Up top, you have Almiron on the left, in a position we have not seen him in a real game real game scenario. Bijadaba
right.
Up top, we saw him last week. Assad out on the right. Now that's a switch between we only seen Assad. Assad is usually on the left. Again, Almiron is usually central. Yeah. That is not the case this time. It looks like he wants to take advantage of not only the back three of Toronto FC, see if they can't spread him out a lot, but the speed on this front line is notable.
It's lethal.
It's notable.
I think we might see that front three just interchange as
well.
Vidalba slip into the flanks as well, and Assad or Almiron slot in up front.
A little three-man weave action?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think Almiron's going to have the freedom to go basically wherever he wants. And Assad and Vidalba
so
are going to have to...
He's going to be like the Cristiano Ronaldo role where he just kind of roams around and kind of
he just finds his spot and goes there. All right, so that's the front line. In the middle, we've got Gressel kind of leading that diamond-ish shape.
We
got
a friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, Gressel. Carmona and Larenowicz as those defensive center mids. We'll see if Larenowicz is asked to... I think considering Almiron is on the left, I think they'll be asked to play a more reserved role, at least the two, or at least Carmona and Larenowicz. Gressel will have that freedom to move up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But Carmona and Larenowicz will have that freedom to kind of stand back and really assess what's going on and limit what Toronto FC can do offensively, at least attempt to limit what they can do offensively.
And I think through this center, we'll see a more comfortable Julian Gressel tonight than we did against Seattle. Certainly with, like we talked about, Almiron being on the pitch, being able to slide in underneath the striker, I think that gives Gressel a lot more freedom of movement to play box-to-box, which he's much more comfortable with. So I think we're going to see a much more cohesive center of the pitch for Atlanta United tonight.
And on the back line, we got Garza in his normal position, Gonzalo Perez in his normal position, Parkhurst in his normal position, and Mears in his normal position. Again, left to right, it's Garza, Perez, Parkhurst, and Mears.
And on the back line, no change is a good thing.
Yep,
these
I
guys
agree.
Continue to play very well, very consistent. I'd say Parkhurst has been better than I think people thought he was going to be for Atlanta United. He's a veteran, but a lot of people thought he would be the man on the back line that might get picked on a little bit. But he's played very well. Gonzalez Perez is in contention for defender of the season so far.
Four games in.
He has been unbelievable. Just for this beginning part of the season, He has marked tremendously well. He's done a fantastic job. Some of his tackles are unbelievable. So Perez has been great. Garza has been great. Mears, some people were trying to tell me that Mears wasn't playing well, and I was like, what are you talking about?
He's been playing fine.
This whole back line has been great. The defense has not been an issue at all.
If there is a weak link, I think it might be Mears, but I say that not suggesting that he is the weak link by any means,
right,
because
right.
They've all looked strong. Can starting in goal. And we want to get your thoughts. 713-955-0722. If you want to get it on the podcast, let us know about what you thought about the lineup.
We gave you our digit.
Yeah. We got our first caller, 404. What do you think of the lineup as it came out?
Yeah, this is Jay Riddle and Sister Pope Fido Midtown. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Fido to Fido.
That's right. I got the line and the cup and the string going, so it's working well. Man, I'm so excited. I got the Need for Speed, and I see Carl's on the bench. I see a lot of speed about to happen. So, you know, I made a bet that I'd eat kale if it went nil-nil for breakfast every day this week. But I don't know. I don't see how that's going to happen. I see goals. Goals coming.
You see goals coming. Who scores those goals, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? I think we're going to see just some good connection between Tito and Almiron. I wouldn't be surprised to see Almiron get some chances. Assad will be able to do his thing. I think he'll be a lot more comfortable. And I think we'll just see a lot of crosses in the box. And if we do some of those long corners, who knows? Maybe we see an RGP come in with a header.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks for the call again. Fido to Fido. They were at Fido Midtown. We are in Fido Buckhead. Still plenty of time to make it out here. There's plenty of space still available for you to just come in here, grab a beer, watch the game. Plenty of screens. I will say, the last 2 or 3 weeks that they've been here, it is the entire first floor. I don't know how many people it fits. The entire first floor is packed.
I really hope that
has been nice.
I really hope Atlanta United scores for this guy, because kale for breakfast sounds like the worst thing ever. That sounds disgusting.
Let's talk about that front line, because that's going to be the most interesting. We know we get out of Carmona. We know we get out of Lorenowicz. We know we get out of Gressel. But the front line without Joseph Martinez is a concern. But considering this is the first true what I think is the true tactical lineup to combat Toronto FC, because you don't willy-nilly put Almiron on the left, knowing what he can do centrally.
Yeah.
And so I think the trio, those guys, and the damage they can inflict if you're not marching tightly, if you're not, watching for the speed that they have, that can truly present a problem. I don't know that the back line is all that fast or all that good, to be honest. I know that they've had two clean sheets, but they're still trying to get goals for Gipto. They're still trying to, get Josie more involved in the game. And it's just, it hasn't been happening. We'll see. I will say, Giovinco not having scored in the season,
that scares me.
It means he's due.
And here's the thing about Giovinco. I think when you have Carmona and Lorenowicz both in there like that, this is going to be a collective effort in terms of trying to stop him. And I think that you try to clog the midfield a little bit by having Carmona and Lorenowicz play a little closer together, and it's going to be both of their responsibility to put it down and to not allow him to have that free space that he wants to have.
I think the key in Tata Martino's system, a player like Giovinco, is to hold the ball and possess. The more Atlanta has possession of the ball, the less Giovinco is going to be able to get on the ball and create for other players. So I think really the key to seeing Giovinco, aside from the obvious we talked about, holding the shape, being organized, keeping your marks, is also Atlanta United's attack.
You're right, because if you lose shape and things get loose, that's when he will kill you.
And it's something we saw against Seattle as well, when the midfield was not functioning well, when losing the ball through the center of the pitch, you can get attacked very, very quickly. You lose that ball to a guy like Sebastian Giovinco, he's going to Josie out the door and behind right away. So, the best way to defend Giovinco from a Tata team standpoint is to hold on to the ball and control the tempo of the game.
I'm also very worried in this game because Josie out the door is one thing he's really good at, aerial attack. He's a very good striker in the air. So, can Atlanta United contain him aerially? A lot of the set pieces, whether it be corner, whether it be free kick, can Atlanta United defend him well enough? And that was one reason why I thought that Kenwin Jones playing might help. Because with Kenwin Jones a defender, no. He's got height. Maybe it would stick him on Altidore in those set piece situations to at least bat the height and the aerial presence Altidore has.
And it is an interesting matchup with the two and a half going against Josie Altidore, because we have, of course, all the credit in the world to the back four thus far this season, but the one weakness has been aerial balls into the box.
Yes.
A lot of that has been, as Eric's mentioned when we've spoken previously about this, is just kind of the type of players on the back four are just not dominant aerial presences.
No.
So it's not a great matchup against the Alpha Four today. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle
it. Well, let's look at it from the perspective of who's in the game, and let's just look at the scenarios. Assuming they get a set piece in the attack in the third, you already know it. Who am I thinking of? Gonzalez Perez is going to be the guy on Josie Alvarez. I think there's no question about it. I think Ramona, it behooved him to come back and mark on Messi. I think there are two best defenders. I think Garza and Mears will have their work cut out with them on the wings, just because they do play the five midfield what's the word I'm going to
have? Formation?
Yeah, formation. Set up. Sorry.
Let's get in formation.
Those are the two guys that I'm so concerned over. And it's not just the primary ball that gets sent into the box or that shot or whatever. It's the secondary ball. Making sure you clear that out, because guys like Giovinco and guys like Josie especially, clean up the garbage in front of goal. And that's the one thing that I think Altidore has kind of his goals sometimes have been convenient because of how they come about. Over the Toronto starting lineup, Altidore, Betashore, Bono. Is it Bono or Bono? I've heard it both ways.
I
don't know.
You know,
we'll say Bono.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I'm going to go with Bono because that reminds me of crashing into trees.
Michael Bradley, in traditional position. Again, what Toronto does is weird. It's not just – it looks like it looks like a movie credit.
Well, they're doing it in alphabetical order, too. So
look more like a movie credit than anything else? Here's the title should be. I know you can't see this in radio land.
They just showed Joseph Pina as one of his goals on TV. I miss that guy so much.
So, anyways, Altidore, Betashore, Bono in goal, Bradley, Cooper, Giovinco, Bavinja, Moore, Mauro, Vasquez, and Zavaleta. That's a strong MLS lineup. That is a strong MLS.
It's one of the best in the league. I mean, that's why they're the defending Eastern Conference champion, because they can roll out a lineup like that.
Well, they are the defending Eastern Conference champions, but they are off to a pretty not great start. They're definitely not one of the best starts they've had in the world. I mean, one win and three draws, two of which coming on zero results. That's not. I mean, it speaks to them defensively, but I don't think they've matched up with one like Atlanta United, given the speed, the technical ability in the midfield. I cannot wait. This is my specific prediction. This is the only thing that happens today. I will be happy because I called it. And I'm sure, I mean, it's not a surprise. But if I see Michael Bradley get turned around, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you, if Almiron has the ball in a one-on-one situation with Michael Bradley, RIP Michael Bradley. That's not going to end well for him.
And that's one of the reasons you go front with kind of flexible positioning for those front three, is you move a Michael Bradley around and give him problems. As that central midfielder, he's going to be the one responsible to drop deep and take care of that space in front of their defense. You've got a front three that move around a lot. You can pull Michael Bradley all over the pitch and opening from the final third.
Well, let me ask you, as the tactician that you are,
the mouthy tactician.
Yes, and mouthy
A three-man back line, going up against a three-man front line, knowing that you're going to have the midfield side coming back and eventually making a five-man back line, talk to me about how they can attack that, how they can go about creating chances off of that formation.
Right. Well, the big part is going to be flexible movement and quick ball movement in the final third. So when you have a three kind of central defenders like Toronto play with, there are a couple things they're going to do. One possibility is they focus on one man in the center of the pitch. That would be more of a Kenwyn Jones type, which opens up space on the flanks. But in this case, you're going to have three or four guys roaming into that area, and you see those back three are going to get pulled out wide. If you see any of those center backs get pulled out in the wide areas, it's
going
to open up a ton of space to get in behind. Now, of course, we'd love to have Joseph Martinez running into those areas, as we've seen all throughout the season. But I think we're going to see if either of those front three talk about having the responsibility to make a striker-type run, try to get in behind.
But the biggest thing that you miss with Joseph Martinez, that I think Amion has it, but I haven't seen it from Bijelba, and I haven't really seen it from Assad, the predatory instinct.
Yeah.
That right around the goal house, that desire, that will, that skill that you know they want to put it in the back of the net and know how to do that. And you have not seen that from Bijalba. You have not seen that. Assad scored the first goal for Atlanta United. But outside of that, you haven't seen that with that fear around the goal. He did have that shot against Chattanooga in the preseason, which I wish he would do more of that. If you see that skill that he has, I've seen him set it up twice. It did not come off as well as the first time. But I have seen him set it up twice. So he does have that in mind.
Right. Well, hopefully. That's the thing. Players that I love, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't necessarily go in. I love all audacity. I want to see guys have the gumption, have the gall. I mean, I grew up watching guys like Paul Scholes who would rip shots out of the box. You know, I want to see that from my players. And you see that from Joseph Martinez. You see that from Miguel Almirón. I don't necessarily know if you have seen that from some of the other players.
713-955-0072 if you want to get in and talk about the lineup, talk about what you expect, talk about what you want to see. Out of this, not only formation, out of this lineup, out of this at game, and going into another hostile environment. Fox Sports South officially having started the broadcast. Darren Eels on the tube right now.
Yeah.
I think they're talking more expansion stuff, and I'm at the point now where I'm like, all right, well, look, we've clearly exemplified that we are not like any other expansion team ever.
You don't think they're talking about the roof?
No, they're talking about
expansion. They're talking about the roof?
I guarantee you. But anyways, it's good to see. You know what is good? Here at Fido Irish Pub in Buckhead, we're going to get local broadcast. That's the good thing. That's the good thing.
Absolutely.
You guys are excited about that? Is that okay?
Well, no. I mean, I'm just saying it's good to have the situation and the setup that Atlanta United has.
No,
because not as many teams.
Not a team is setting their team around to block a game right now.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's not on national TV.
Absolutely, yeah. I think you can sense with Atlanta United, even with very early, you're looking at a top-shelf MLS club right away.
Absolutely.
And everything indicates
if they get the win today, they'll immediately be on the radar of, okay, this team, we can move away from calling them an expansion team. We can move away from the stereotypical nonsense that we've gone on for months now, for seemingly like 2 years now. We've talked about the same thing over and over and over again. But at least if they get the win today, and I think they do, at the very least they get a draw, I think anything less is absolutely unacceptable. Considering what we've seen so far, considering the talent they have. But let me ask you, unless you have a different point, Garza and Mears, we know they play suicidally. We know they push up as far as they can and get as involved with the attack as they can. Against a 3-5-2, well, let's just call it a 3-5-2. Against a 3-5-2, where you have those midfielders pushing up, playing back, they're essentially just wingers all along both sides the entire way. How does that change anything for Garza and Mears, knowing what they normally do? Now, the caveat is, you know, Tata Martino is going to play his way regardless of what the other team is. So let's just assume that Garza and Mears are going to at least attempt to get up that far, like they normally do.
There might potentially be even more base for them, depending on what the movement is like in the final third. I think you might be the two fullbacks being consistently higher up the pitch than we've seen in the past because of that back three. But then it all comes to being able to control the tempo and hold onto the ball, which is going to allow them to get high into wide positions. And again, that means front three can move around freely.
And I think a big part of that is going to be Carmona. We've seen him beast on guys before, kind of be that midfield general, that guy that's going to control the play. So he's going to be important in not allowing Sebastian Giovinco the space and the freedom to roam around, because that's how Toronto keeps the ball, is with Giovinco with the ball at his feet and the movement that he can do. So if Carmona is able to out-physical him and keep him out of his game, that's going to be a huge part for Atlanta.
And it's twofold for Carmona, because Carmona is not only good at winning the ball off of you, once he gets it, he's also good at building out of the back in possession.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw McCann and Lorenzo would struggle with in Seattle. It's not so much the defensive side of things, but once they got a hold of the ball, the distribution was not the subpar from that part of the pitch.
Here's the thing I think we could see is Perez, his ability to hit a long pass is out of the world. I'm waiting, and I think this might be a game where we might see it, where he, you know, around midfield, he's got the ball, and he just picks out either Assad or Bijalba or Almirón on a long pass, just, like, heads it over the keeper, perfect, like done it a million times. I feel like that is something we could see today, just because it's almost going to be like, and I understand that Toronto's not going to Chicago or the 10 players, but I feel like it could be a lot of that game again.
in the sense that Toronto, just not because they want to, but just naturally, because of the way Atlanta plays, is going to be more dependent on the counter and just bunkering down than we've seen, you know, on an 11-a-side squad.
I think my question, Eric, maybe be interested to hear your response on this, is do you think that Atlanta forces Toronto to do that, or do we think Toronto's going to come out set up to counterattack tonight? It's going to be something that's forced upon them by Atlanta just holding onto the ball.
Well, I don't think, when you got a guy like Jimmy or even Josie, the way they play off each other, they're so good. But you've also got other attacking guys and in Toronto. And their ability to get Jimmy involved in the game, to get Josie involved in the game, that's an asset you got to take advantage of. So I don't think they want to.
Right.
I do think that plays into our hands, though, because the way we counter, it's all with speed and it's all with technical ability, and it looks really, really good. And that is something that I think Toronto and most of MLS is going to get a good view of today and isn't going to be taken for granted by other teams moving forward.
And that's the thing. A team like Toronto isn't built to counter. They're built to possess and built to beat you that way. So that would be a reaction. If Atlanta United is able to hold the ball and is able to take Toronto out of their game, they're going to react. But they don't have the players to do it like Atlanta does. They don't have that speed. They are just based on having guys like Giovinco and Bradley, they are more of that possession style team. So Atlanta United, if they can hold the ball longer and they can take Toronto and take away what Toronto wants to do, then Atlanta United are going to have a very good chance to win this game. I am still a little miffed at the fact that Kenwin isn't up top, because I really want to start and see how that could change the way the game is played. But I guess Tata felt that he needed aggressive Carmelo Arenawitz kind of midfield there to try and bog down what Toronto wants to do possession.
Well, we haven't seen Tata put Alvido on the left.
And that's
so
true.
And so I'm curious to see how the first 5 minutes go, even shorter time than that, in the first 3 minutes or so, because I want to see if these changes are strictly technical, because I think that's one of the ones he had trouble in when he was with Argentina, when he was with Barcelona. It was a lot of the tactics, a lot of the little things that were outside of coaching. Well, sorry, outside of, coaching the best players in the world. Outside of that, it was a lot of the tactics that he utilized didn't seem to make a lot of sense. So I wonder if this is not saying that this doesn't make sense. It does in a way, because why wouldn't you put three CD guys against three back line guys, especially if they're playing a back three? I want to see if this is something that he is okay. I think that this could work better than Kenwin. I think this tactically is a better lineup, better formation. And I agree with you. They looked so much better with Kenwin at top the other night. They looked very different. As soon as Kenwin came in, it was a different game. And all of a sudden, you had hope that Atlanta United could pull away.
I mean, there were two shots on goal that both could have been goals.
Should have been goals. But I do wonder if this is I don't even wonder. I think this is more tactical and more, I want my fastest three going up against your back.
And one thing we always hear about Tata Martino is he's a guy that wants his team to play a certain way all the time. This season, we've actually had to see him veer from that a little bit. Yeah. The crazy snow game in Minnesota, the game last in battle with all sorts of injuries. But I think tonight, this is more for him about a long-term vision for the season, because Villalba, similar to Martinez in terms of he's the guy that's going to try to get in behind the defense than Kenwin Jones.
Yeah, but that's also the biggest question mark about Tata Martino coming into MLS.
Absolutely.
Would he be, a chameleon? Would he adapt? Would he be able to change the style based on the game and based on the situation that presents itself? Like a Joseph Martinez going down, you have to change. You have to play something different. So right now, from these last few games, what I've seen is he's not willing to do that. He wants to continue to force his style of play.
I think if it doesn't work tonight, he has a change going forward.
Absolutely.
But I think it's worth mentioning that Almiron only played 30 minutes against Seattle, and he does change Villalba's role. I agree with you. If it doesn't work tonight, even the first 45 to 60 minutes, Tata's got to change it to go with Kenwin.
I had something, and I totally forgot what I was going to say.
All right. Hashtag professional podcast.
Oh, I forgot what I was going
to say. I totally agree.
I'll take it away.
Okay, well, the Masters, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
What I'm really looking forward to seeing tonight is...
Oh, you know what? I remember. Sorry.
There we
okay,
go.
So here's the thing.
I was stalling, by the way, so I'm totally glad.
No, he was a little pissed, but not yet.
No,
right.
I had nothing. So I'm really glad to figure that out. I have no idea where.
There's so many. There's some pretty ladies in this building. I couldn't keep focused. All right, so let's assuming this front three doesn't get it going in the first half. The reason I'm not like freaked out by this is because we have shown that we don't necessarily have to score goals to be in the game. We tried against Seattle, where the attack wasn't working, but our defense was so strong that it limited Seattle and what they could do. Honestly, both teams were very limited. But
yeah.
I'm not as concerned. Like, for example, if we let in two or three goals on average over the course of the four games we have played, yeah, I might be concerned. But if this trio up top doesn't work, I'm not concerned that the back line or that the midfield won't be able to stop a counter or stop a chance from Toronto. Now, it's a great animal with Giovinco and what he can do, but he has been limited. He has been shut out, essentially, for the first four games of the season. Four games for him? Yeah, I think it's four games. Four games for the season. So, you know, teams have been able to do it. Teams have adapted Giovinco. Teams know what to expect. Players specifically know what to expect out of Giovinco. They know how to counteract. I'm not saying they won't score in the first half, but I'm not as. Let's put it this way: if the attacking three don't get it going in the first half, I worry there's gonna be 3-0 at halftime.
Yeah, and we saw that against Seattle, where there's not cohesion in the attack and the back four. And the back four was really the only part of the first 11 that was at full strength last week. We saw them perform very, very under pressure.
All right, guys. It's time for everyone's favorite game, Prediction Radio.
Oh, yeah. All right.
If you can't catch the sarcasm, it's not everyone's favorite game.
It's
actually the laziest thing in the review, but we're going to do it.
Oh, of course.
We're going to do it.
We know more than everybody else.
If you've got your own score prediction, 713-955-0622, we've got about 4 minutes. If you want in, we'll take calls immediately. Josh, give it to me.
2-1 Atlanta, and I'm going to say it. I want Romania to get to the score sheet tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going 2-2. I still think this is a draw. I don't think that Atlanta United is going to feel terrible with a draw in this game. Like, you go into Seattle, one of the roughest environments in MLS. You got that draw with a squad that had just come off of its first international break as a team. So you got that draw. I still think this is a draw. I think the next two, your game at Montreal and Real Salt Lake, those are crucial to go and win. This one isn't as important because it's against an extremely difficult opponent. If you're able to go to Toronto, get on 1-2-2 draw, I would be very happy with that. That being said, I hope they win, and I hope WrestleMania does get on the score sheet because I want to see WrestleMania running wild, brother.
I think it's going to be I think we're going to love what we see in the first half. I think we're going to have a different case of Almirón because he is out wide. I'm sure, without a doubt, he's going to float centrally and he's going to just do what he does. But
too early.
I say, and I saw Robertson, I tweet this, and I'm going to steal his, 4-0. Because I think Almirón is still
4-0 Atlanta United.
Yes, I think Almirón is still the one of the most dangerous midfielders over the course of the first 4 or 5 games, whatever teams have played. And by teams, I mean just teams within MLS because they play 5.
If Atlanta United beat them 4-0, then like you were talking about that intent, that statement. Then everybody better be
expansion
picking their
expansion
pants.
Talk is over. Outside of the general, yeah, they're an expansion team. That conversation is over. I think Michael Bradley's gonna get turned around at least once. I think he's gonna have a hell of a time trying to control Almirón. And if it's not Almirón, Carmona's gonna come get him. And if it's not Carmona, we're gonna come get him. I hope, you know what? Best thing, Julian Gressel Meg on Bradley. That would be awesome. That'd be fun to watch.
Look. If you've been a longtime listener of the Mouths of the South podcast, you know my disdain for Michael Bradley.
I hope it shows.
I want to see so many bad things happen to him. And that's the thing. Last week, I had trouble cheering for Dempsey because even with the youth, he's not my favorite player.
He's not wearing the right jersey, man.
Well, right. But like, that's the thing. Like with Michael Bradley, I want to see him demise tonight.
Yeah.
All right, 803, you're on the Mountain South Podcast. Again, the number is 713-955-0722, 803.
Hey, boys. I'm sitting there tweeting, drinking the Kool-Aid, so I can't not talk.
Oh, man, it's so loud in here.
What's that?
Yeah, we got nothing.
No, go ahead. Let me see if I can.
Hello.
Go ahead, we got you. We're trying to listen. It's loud. Go ahead.
You got me now? Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. Yep. No, I'm sitting here tweeting about calling in, so I got to call in and not, you know, call in. I'm sitting here drinking the Kool-Aid you're putting out. So I'm going 3-2.
What did you think of the lineup?
ATL. Huh?
What did you think of the lineup?
You know, you kind of like to see Carrollton get a chance to play, but you know, whether he starts, you know, I'm not sure. But I don't know. We'll see. You got to trust what they're doing so far, you know?
Yeah, I just think we're all going to be surprised by what we see today. I think, I mean, not only playing for the first time without Joseph Martinez, he's going to be forced to do other things outside of just, you know, play ball in space and watch Joseph run onto it. So it's going to be a hell of a lot different. Well, we're about to wrap it up. So, again, you've heard our predictions. Make sure to tune in for postgame. It'll be live at 10 o'clock. You can find it the same way you found this one. We'll tweet out links. It'll be on Dirty South Soccer. Make sure you join us on postgame. It'll be a live postgame at 10 o'clock, and we'll be here for you for an hour after the game. That cheering means players on the field. That means that's it for us. Guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us.
Forget we are the North. We are the South.
Now's the South Podcast. Out.